one container there was water, in one container there was alcohol. And she put it on a table in front of the children. And she said, "Now, children, watch carefully, and there'll be a lesson that we'll learn together." And so the teacher had the children seated. And when the children were seated, the teacher took two earthworms. She said, "Now, class, watch these little earthworms. And there's a lesson here." She dropped one of them in the container of water. And that little earthworm just swam round and round and round that container of water. Then she took the other remaining earthworm, dropped it in the container of alcohol, and it shriveled up and died instantly. She was so proud of her ability to demonstrate truth. She said, "Now, class, who can tell me what this little illustration teaches?" And one little boy said, "That teaches, I know it teaches that if you drink enough, you'll never have worms."
All right.
So don't miss the great truths that are in this wonderful passage. It's a story of the first recorded miracle of our Lord in Cana of Galilee. Weddings are a big deal, and little could that bride and groom have possibly known that the Holy Spirit was recording for the years to come and generations to come the details of their marriage and wedding ceremony. But this wonderful passage has so many great truths in it, and I want us to begin looking at it in verse 2 and get the setting. The setting is the little village of Cana, just a few miles from Nazareth, where Jesus was raised. We don't know for sure who was involved in this wedding. I suspect it was some friends or relatives or neighbors of Jesus when he was growing up. But nevertheless, it's the account of the first recorded miracle of our Lord. And Danny, where'd you go?
I'm right here.
There you are. There you are. I promise not to make it 20 minutes too long. Let's look at it together, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. "And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." Now, you know when you read the first verse, there's a wedding being talked about. The relative of Jesus, his mama, is there. And they are there. She's there as kind of the one in charge of the wedding details, if you will, and the wedding director. And so it was that both Jesus was called in verse 2 and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, that is, when they had run out of wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Now I can assure you, the King James does not try to capture the emotion of that moment. I can almost guarantee you that Mary did not say casually, or "By the way, son, just while you're thinking about it, we just run out of punch. We've got all of our cousins and aunts and uncles and nephews and neighbors and friends and political who's who, and they're here for this reception, and we've run out of punch. And son, anything you can do to help us out a little bit?" "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, and by the way, in the King James grammar, it's perfectly fine to call your mother woman. I don't recommend it for you husbands. The connotation is totally different. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Jesus lived in the shadow of the cross everywhere he went, every day that he lived. His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I like that. I've got it underlined in my Bible. I've got notes written all around it. Whatever he says unto you, just do it. That's a good sermon right there. Just whatever Jesus says, just do it. "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone." We'll come back and talk about these in a moment. "After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, or according to the custom of customs of hand washing and foot washing and preparation for being a part of the feast, containing 2 or 3 firkins, or 25 or 30 gallons apiece." I was in a seminary class years ago, and the professor brought out a vessel that was from the Holy Land, which he said was one of these, like one of these vessels, most likely. And it was tall. It was contained about 25 to 30 gallons. And it was used for the ceremonial cleansing and the washing of the hands, washing of the feet, and for the ceremony itself. Jesus saith in verse 7, unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast or the master of ceremonies. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was or where it had come from or its source, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, verse 10, every man at the beginning or normally or customarily at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Jesus always saves his best for now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him, or believed in him. In the next few moments, we're going to look at when Jesus shows up. There are a lot of accounts in the New Testament where Jesus showed up. Lots of miracles, and this is one of the most memorable of all. There are only three primary major thoughts I want us to think about together this morning, so it'll be relatively easy for your note-taking. We're going to talk about what happens when Jesus shows up. It was true then. It's been true ever since. It's true today. There are times when Jesus just manifests his presence in such a wonderful, powerful, magnificent way, and it's memorable to say the least. Number one, I want to suggest to us this morning, over the next few moments, that whenever Jesus shows up, he always addresses our problems. It is unlikely that we would have heard much about Jesus had there not come a crisis at the wedding. Had they not run out of wine, had they not had a crisis as far as the reception, it's most likely Jesus would have just been a guest at the wedding. When they ran out of wine, it was the platform for Jesus to perform a miracle and teach a great truth and teach them the blessings that come. Blessings come when we do whatever he says to do and how he says to do it. Number one, Jesus always addresses my problem. We're going to talk about how that works in just a moment. Secondly, when Jesus shows up, he not only addresses my problem, he affirms my purpose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul wrote and said, we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the Holy Spirit of God. We have the treasure in earthen vessels. That is, did you know you were a chosen vessel unto the Lord? And just as those vessels were filled up and turned, were instruments of a miracle, you are an instrument of a miracle that the Lord wants to use for his honor and for his glory. Number two, he affirms my purpose. He reminds me as he uses me that I'm significant in the plan of God. God doesn't have any nobodies. Everybody's a somebody. And you're somebody special in God's wonderful eternal plan. And thirdly, when Jesus shows up, he alters my perspective. He saved the best. And now, usually that wasn't the clue. Usually the festivities, the reception would go on for a while. And then after people were fully refreshed, you might say, then they brought out the weak stuff, the stuff that they normally would have served first, I guess. But the truth is, when Jesus shows up, he addresses my problem first of all. You ever come to church and you've had a rough week and things hadn't gone well and you're laden down with the burdens and the cares of life? Well, if it hadn't happened to you recently, hold on. Because you'll have a day like that before too terribly long. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Wouldn't it be wonderful if after we got saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, that we never went through trials again and never were any more heartaches or sorrows? That's just not the case in life. But the truth is, even though Job was right when he said that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, it's also true that we have a great Redeemer. He's a miracle-working Lord. And by the way, it's no more difficult for our Lord to work a miracle in your life or my life as it was in the lives of these precious members of this wedding party. Jesus addresses my problem. Well, Brother Jackie, I've struggled with a lot of stuff for a long time. What do you mean Jesus addresses my problem? Well, let me tell you some keys to allowing God to address our problems. First of all, Jesus addresses my problem when I confess that I've got one. Mary said, "Son, we have run out of punch. We run out of wine." Now, I can promise you, she didn't say it casually. I believe there was a word of urgency. "Son, we've got a problem. We need your help. We need it now. We run out of refreshment for the guests." And I thought about this principle. Jesus shows up to address our problems, but get this, when we confess that we've got a problem. The biggest problem we've got is we ain't got no problems. You see, the truth is, those churches in the Revelation, those seven churches, there's one that did a lot of things well, but they finally said, "And we have need of nothing." Nothing. I want to tell you, when we are self-sufficient, we don't need the Lord anymore. We've reached the end of the rope as far as our effectiveness in the kingdom of God. But I tell you, revival comes. Spiritual renewal comes. Healing comes when we confess we've got a problem. "Lord, my heart's growing cold. Lord, I'm struggling with bitterness." Anybody ever struggle with anger? "Lord, I'm struggling with forgiveness. Lord, I'm struggling with..." And the list goes on. The truth is, the Lord can minister to our hearts powerfully and personally when we get honest about the fact that we do have problems in life. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It just means He stands alongside of you to walk you through the storm and get you through life as you will. Jesus addresses my problem when He shows up, when I confess that I have a problem. Number two, when I confirm His purpose. He addresses my problems when I confess I have a problem. He addresses my problem when I confirm His purpose. And look at verse 4. Jesus said to Mary, His sweet mother, "What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." This is early in the ministry of our Lord. In Jesus' whole three and a half year ministry, He used every opportunity to try to share with the disciples. He was headed to a cross at Calvary. They really never got it until right there at the very end, and didn't really understand what it meant for Jesus to leave, that His work on earth would be finished. What's the purpose of our Lord? Jesus said to Mary, "Mama, what do you want me to do?" And I think it's one way of saying, "Mama, I'll be glad to help you get through this storm, but this is not the main reason I came. Not just so life wouldn't be painful, but so that the world would have a Savior." And Jesus said, "Why have you asked me to take care of this situation?" And she knew that He could. "What is it that you need me to do?" Jesus doesn't mind you asking. In fact, He wants us to ask when we need help. And there have been times in my life I've just had to simply say, "Lord, without You, I couldn't do anything." In fact, there have been a lot of times I've said that. And thank the Lord that when Jesus shows up, He shows up to address my problem when I confess I've got one. He shows up to address my problem when I confirm His purpose. "Lord, I know You didn't come just to bail me out when I do stuff, dumb stuff, or when I do things that are inappropriate. You come to bless me and take care of me as I walk through life. You come to address my problem when I confess I have one, when I confirm Your purpose, and Lord, when I conform to Your plan." What does that mean? Mary was now in charge. And she said, "Whatever He says unto you, do it." He's in charge now. Whatever instructions Jesus gives you, follow those to the letter. Jesus shows up, when I confess I have a problem, when I confirm His purpose, when I conform to His plan. Whatsoever He says unto you, do it. Have you ever been in church? Or maybe you were having a devotional. Maybe you were just spending some time with the Lord, and the Spirit of God impressed upon you to go see somebody or talk to somebody or pray for somebody or do something that was honoring to the Lord. And you just kind of brushed it off. Well, it may have been the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, especially if you were in tune to the Lord. Whatsoever He says unto you, do it. Mary was saying, whatever requirements Jesus asks of you as He performs this miracle. Of course, she had yet to see the miracle. She didn't know what He's going to do. Whatever He says unto you, do it. That'd be good to put over a sign in the church anywhere. Whatever He says unto you, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the leadership. Whatever Jesus says unto you, do it. I suggest to you, and I communicate to you, And folks, life would be a lot sweeter if we'd learn to do whatever Jesus said. Whatever he says to you, do it. He's a good God. He's a good Lord. He's a good master. And he wants to show up in our lives and do that which only God can do. Jesus showed up at the wedding in Cana of Galilee to address their problems. When we address our problem, when we confirm his purpose and conform to his plan. But secondly, he affirms my purpose. Now, that's in verse 7. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon on water pots. But you know, the Bible talks about you and me being a water pot. Do something with me for a moment, would you? There are all kinds of different water pots. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a good-looking water pot. There you go. It's kind of weak, but it's all right. When Jesus shows up, he addresses my problem. Y'all behave down here. When Jesus shows up, he affirms my purpose. Have you ever wondered, Lord, why and how can you possibly use me? I'm just an old clay water pot. Jesus might respond, that's exactly how I made you. I made you so you'd be a water pot that I could fill up and I could use for the honor and the glory of God. A water pot that would depend on none other than myself. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Those vessels are to be marked by three attributes. Number one, purged vessels. Clean. These were used for drinking, for making the wine. It would have been unimaginable for them to be anything less than clean and spotless on the inside. One of the biggest things that interrupts our signal from heaven and our relationship and fellowship with the Lord is unconfessed sin. Sins of omission, sins of commission, sins of disposition, whatever it may be. We just need to simply say, Lord, show me what I need to confess and show me what I need to get rid of in my life. We're talking about when Jesus shows up, he addresses our problem. When Jesus shows up, he affirms our purpose. Our vessels are to be purged. And one of the things we ought to simply say is, Lord, search me, O God. Paul wrote this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Because if you're not careful, our old human nature can kind of gloss over the things that are going on in our lives that are not very spiritual. When Jesus shows up, he addresses my problems. When Jesus shows up, he affirms my purpose. Our vessels are to be purged and presented. Presented unto the one in charge. Mary said it, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And they gave directions to fill the water pots with water and they filled them up to the brim. Presented to him. The word presented suggests a total surrender. In Romans chapter 12, when Paul wrote to the church and said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is an offering of sacrifice and praise. When Jesus shows up, he shows up to address our problems. When we confess we have them, when we affirm his purpose, and when we realize that he wants a purged vessel, he wants a presented vessel, surrendered to the lordship of the Lord, and a possessed vessel, fill them up to the brim. Interestingly enough, in the New Testament, the word for fill is pleroustai, be you filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is, a picture of the surrendered life when a believer says, Lord, I surrender all I am to the love and lordship of Jesus. Fill me with your spirit. Use this old vessel for the honor and the glory of God. I'll tell you this briefly. I know you get tired of hearing me telling stories about growing up, but maybe you could identify. I was a relatively quiet young person. I know that's hard for some of you to imagine. But I was mortified when it came time. If somebody called on me to pray in church, it would have made me panic. I just couldn't hardly do it. And the truth is, I never saw myself doing anything public. In fact, I've told you this before. I had a speech course in high school The day my first speech was due, I dropped the course. I did. Then one day my pastor, when I was about 19, just before God called me to preach, reminded me, Jackie, you're a vessel. And he could see what God was doing in my life before I could see it. And you're a vessel God wants to use. The fact that you came a broken family, mother and father married each other four times. But they loved us, did the best they could, but it was a mess. Horrified to get up in front of crowds, and then the Lord called me to preach. How do you figure that? Well, the truth is, when Jesus shows up, he'll take your vessel, and when it's filled up, he'll use you just like you were in a king's house because you belong to the Lord. A purged vessel, a presented vessel, a possessed vessel, fill them up. Use them for my glory. And so in verse 7, they filled them to the brim, and he turned the water into wine. Lastly, not only when Jesus shows up, he addresses my problem. When Jesus shows up, he affirms my purpose. When Jesus shows up, he alters my perspectives. Stay with me, we're almost done. When Mary had tasted the water that was made wine, she said, "I would never taste anything like this before. This is the very best. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee." They discovered that when Jesus shows up, there's no situation too big for God to handle. There's no crisis too hard for him to deal with. There's no heartache God can't deal with and minister to. So what are you saying, Brother Jackie? When Jesus shows up, he addresses my problem. Any problem you've got today is an invitation for you to yield it to the Lordship of Christ. He loves you. He's a God who will walk with you through the storms of life. When Jesus shows up, he not only addresses my problem, he affirms my purpose. You're a vessel that God wants to use for his honor and his glory. And he alters my perspective. Verse 10. Thou hast kept the good wine until now. Lord, you save the best for now. Now, humor me for a moment. When I got saved on that Sunday night in the revival, and my buddy James Intricate sitting next to me, I had no idea the journey I was about to begin. And if I had enough sense to realize where I was going and what I was going to do, I could have said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Then the Lord scared me senseless when he called me to preach. Preach? All I knew about preaching was my pastor slobbered in all of his sermons. And I was going to have to learn how to slobber and sling a handkerchief. I was going to have to learn to do a little running and a little bit of stomping my feet and a little bit of Bobby hang on, hollering a little bit. Then when God brought into my life a young lady who was to be my bride now, 56 years, who too was from a broken home, little could I realize, Lord, you're saving the best for now. And then the Lord called me to preach and gave me a little church. We had 14 in Sunday school our first Sunday there. But I would have been just as happy if I was pastoring First Baptist Dallas. God, let me be a preacher. And then every once in a while, God will just bless me and let me see somebody saved. I was thinking just this week about a revival I did in Louisiana when I was in evangelism. The first night of revival, we saw over 40 professions of faith one night. And if I could have had enough sense to say it, I could say, Lord, thank you. Glory to God, you saved the best for now. Is it okay if I get Pentecostal just a little bit? Is that all right? Give the Lord a hand, will you? In one of these days, I took trumpet lessons in high school for 2 weeks. One of these days, the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. The shout of God shall echo across the heavens. And God's going to snatch this old preacher out of this old world. And I'll turn Pentecostal for sure. Glory to God. And I'll simply say to myself as I go flying through the air, Lord, you saved the best for now.
Yes.
Next time I see my mother and father, they'll be getting along really well. I'll see Sunday school teachers and deacons and pastors I had, and I'll see church members, and we'll all have a family reunion, because when Jesus shows up, he changes everything. And it's true. It's true. He saves the best for now. If you think it's been good so far, there's going to be one great getting up morning. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And whatever he, Jesus, says unto you, do it. And he'll show up for his glory and for your good. Let's bow together.